Won't you stand? And I'll read a portion of scripture found in the book of Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 4. The first portion of that verse says, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose." And there is an allusion to a pulpit in scripture where 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 13 said, "For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad, and 3 cubits high, and he set it in the midst of the court, and upon it he stood and kneeled upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven." I want to preach or teach, whatever you want to call it, because really teaching is just slow preaching. Okay, so I'm going to just kind of drop it back a few gears here. But I want to preach about the purpose of the pulpit. The purpose of the pulpit. Would you pray one more time? I'll let you be seated. Lord, I need your anointing today. Please, Lord, touch my tongue and let it be as the pen of a ready writer. Let me say something that will help these people and encourage this man of God and his family. Touch the heart of every visitor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. When I stepped in here this morning, I made mention of this pulpit. I don't know who built it. I think, did you say Brother Wurst? Great job, Brother Wurst. Now, I said to Brother Cowan, I said, "Man, I'm going to be in trouble because that pulpit, you can see my knees knocking through it. I'm so nervous." But you know, I want to talk about the purpose of this pulpit. I came off the East Coast, and so I was always had an interest in ships, wooden ships especially. And on a wooden ship, there is a railing called a pulpit railing. And sometimes in the olden days, the railing would go all the way around the ship. Sometimes it would just be at the bow of the ship at the front. And they put this railing on ships for a reason. And number one was to keep you from falling off when the weather was rough. Now, how rough does it get at sea? Well, they've recorded waves over 100 feet tall. They have wave meters out there on buoys that record waves. I myself have been out in 25-foot seas, and you get up. I got up as high as I could get, brother, and would watch them waves come like soldiers. And they'd hit the bow of that ship, and it would just list like this, and it would just shudder, and then it would come back to center and go the other direction. And I liked it. My wife was as green as a gourd. But that pulpit railing was there to keep you from falling off when the weather got rough. And many times at sea, storms come when you're not expecting them. Number two, they would tie a rope to this pulpit railing when they would be in uncharted waters or a harbor that they were not familiar with. They'd have a rope. They would tie a knot every 6 feet or every fathom in the rope, and they'd let it down over the side. But before they did, they always attached a rope to the pulpit rail, and they'd sound for the depth of water. This pulpit railing was very important to the captain because the guy at the front of the ship, at the bow, he would be sounding the depth of the water, 4 meters, 3 meters. And the captain would know when to drop anchor by what that man told him. The third thing that they used the pulpit railing for was that's where they secured the anchor too many times. And if you know anything about ships, it's always good to have an anchor. You can rest assured that some of the ships that I saw, they just didn't have one anchor. They had at least four, one in each corner of the ship. And during the storm, they'd throw at all the anchors. It kept the ship from pitching and rolling so much. But anyway, pulpits in churches were not till the 3rd century. And usually they were just a table where a speaker would sit and read scriptures or, at that time, lecture. Later, they were a tall desk at which the speaker stood, much like I am standing today, where they would preach or speak the word. But back then, to disregard the word spoken from the pulpit was cause for excommunication. You had no second chance. If you didn't believe what was preached, they just excommunicated you. Sorry, you're history. Thankful it's not quite that way today. But in our text today, the word pulpit was simply a raised platform, like this here. Literally, it meant a castle or a tower. What it represented was a safe place. Now, it had another meaning. It also meant flower, as in like green and colored, not like baking flour. So why? What would the purpose of that be if it was a flower? It meant it was a sensitive, gentle place. Now you got to catch this because I don't have time to explain everything. But a pulpit represents not only a safe place, a strong place, but at the same time it's a place of gentleness. Imagine a shepherd. Just think with me for a second. Here's a shepherd. He's got 100 sheep and he's got a staff and a rod. And the first thing he does every morning, he goes out and he beats every one of them sheep until they're just laying on the ground going, bah, bah, bah. Now, shepherds don't do that. They, matter of fact, they love their sheep. Thank God for a man of God that can stand in a pulpit and be strong and yet be gentle with the people of God at the same time. So this means to us what exactly? Well, it's a place, a safe place, a stronghold of truth. It's a place to defend against the enemy that would come and destroy people. It also means a place that's sensitive to the Spirit and a place of gentleness to the people of God. It's beautiful when you can watch the pastor or a minister preach and watch God reach for people and change people. The purpose of this pulpit is not to focus on the messenger. You listening now? It's to focus on the message. Long before someone stops hearing the voice of God, they stop hearing the voice of the man of God. They stop hearing the voice that comes across the pulpit. The pulpit represents the foundation of all of who we are and what we do. It's the residing place of truth that lays rest to all arguments that oppose God and His truth. Now catch this, if you will. The voice of the pulpit must be louder than the voice of the world that screams for attention and validation and acceptance. It has to be louder than the voices that scream for significance. Everybody wants to be significant. Everybody wants to mean something to somebody. Now, y'all gonna make me take my jacket off. That's probably not good. No, I'm just messing with you. But listen, everybody wants significance. Which one of you guys is not married? Ollie, oh my God, I got an audience here now. Let's pick on you. You want significance, don't you? How do you know that? Because you want some girl to notice you. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody wants significance. She's looking for significance too. She wants to be noticed too. But listen, the voice from that pulpit has to outweigh any voice of wanting to be significant. If it doesn't, let me show you what will happen. You'll catch the eye of some young lady that's not good for you. Or if you're a lady or a lady or girl, and you might catch the voice of some man that's not good for you. And the voice that comes across that pulpit must be louder than that voice that cries for significance. If I'm not careful, I'll go to meddling, brother. I don't want to meddle this morning. But This pulpit represents the voice of wisdom and understanding. It represents the voice of instruction and peace. It represents a healing place for the hurting and wearied and fearful saint. It's a safe harbor in the storms of life. You say, well, you know, how do I become wise? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. How do I make good decisions? I'm glad you asked. Just listen to what's preached across the pulpit and do what's preached. If you do what's preached, you can be wise beyond your years. To the sin-laden sinner, this pulpit's like a beacon of light at night. It's like a lighthouse at night. You know, I bought Brother Bobby Davis a picture. I think it's St. George's Lighthouse. Stuck off somewhere out several miles from the shore. And the story behind that lighthouse is it took them 10 years to build it. Why would they do that? Because there were so many ships hit that rock, they couldn't see it. And this pulpit will prevent you from hitting a lot of rocks if you'll pay attention. Just simple stuff, but it's so needful to understand. It's this pulpit and the preaching of the word that brings faith to your heart. You know, we live in a world that doesn't have any hope. Like I said, they have no faith. They have nothing to believe in. But when you come here and the preacher begins to preach across the pulpit, this pulpit, the word that's delivered from it can bring revelation and enlightenment to a soul that's locked up in a prison of unbelief. So how do you know that? Because I didn't believe nothing. I had no faith. I had no hope. I didn't know if God existed. I didn't know if the Bible was true. I had no conscience that worked. I said, what do you mean? I hate to be this crude, but I could let your guts out with a knife and watch you bleed to death and laugh and walk away and never think a thing about it. But when I came to God and I heard a preacher preach across the pulpit, all of a sudden, Brother Cowan, God became very real. And he began to reveal himself to me and began to open his word to me. And God resurrected my conscience. I began to care about what I thought about people and what people thought about me. It's because of the pulpit. It brings discernment to a mind and the searching soul. Listen, it sets people free from the prison of darkness. We sit here this morning and we don't, you know, if you're saved, you don't think ever think about darkness. But I think a lot about darkness because I sat there for many years. No light, no hope, nothing. Just ramming and jamming through life. Hurting people, destroying things, destroying my own self. But oh, when I got to church, that little church, and that little beady-eyed preacher preached to me across the pulpit, and the word of God went forth. It reminds me of the scripture Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth, in other words, the truth will liberate you. It will deliver you. And God knows I needed deliverance that Sunday morning. It's this pulpit. It's the preaching that comes over this pulpit that stirs our heart to believe God is able to do what he promised. Oh, Lord, we need hope today. Hebrews 6:19 said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. The purpose of the pulpit, it's to provide a safe, gentle place, a place where you and I can hear the word of God, hear the words of life, and receive instruction and direction in a broken world. I wonder today just exactly how thankful you are for a pulpit and a preacher a pastor that stands in here time after time and delivers the word of God and preaches truth to you. You see, this pulpit, if it could talk, would stand and testify this morning against all of those who opposed the truth and decided to leave here and go another direction. It would bring an indictment against error and those who chose to believe a lie rather than live the truth. You know, the story's told of a man that preached a lie and had a great crowd following him, and another man that preached the truth and he just had a few people that followed him. And so the two met one day, and the guy that preached the truth asked the guy that preached the lie, he said, "How come you have so many people following you and you preach a lie?" He said, "I preach the truth and just have a few." It was very simple. The guy that preached the lie said, "Well, I preach a lie like it's a truth, and you preach the truth like it's a lie." I want someone to preach to me that's fully persuaded that what they have is the only saving message that there is. Oh, preacher, preach to me with conviction. Preach to me with anointing. Preach to me with authority. Preach to me with compassion, with expectation. Preach me free, preacher. Preach me strong. Preach me holy, preacher. And do it across the pulpit. I believe this one God, Jesus name, tongue talk, and holiness message from the top of my bald head to the number 12 shoes I get on. And brother, I want to be so full of Jesus, if you cut me, I bleed all over the place on you. I bleed Jesus. Listen, you have to understand that not everybody that goes to a church believes it this way. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Can I tell you that God honors what this pulpit stands for today? 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19 said, "And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." I've wondered a lot about that. Samuel spoke and God honored it. Do you know why? God honored what Samuel said because Samuel honored what God said. And you can rest assured today that God will honor what's preached across this sacred desk. I told the church in Hutchinson they were wanting X amount of dollars for their building they're in. I think it was $419,000 or whatever it was. And I said, "Done, Brother Carricker. That's what you spoke. So it's done. You just wait on God. God will do it." Say, "How do you know? He's done it so many times before." I was in a church one time when they sold their building. They were looking for another building, and they finally found one, and they wanted $630,000 or something like that for it. And I said, "Buy it. You'll pay it off in 2 or 3 years." And the guy's looking at me. We got like 30 people. Like, really? I said, "You'll fill it up." Before the deal was done, they got it appraised. It appraised for $960,000. He hadn't even signed for it yet. 3 years later, the church was full. Today, they're bumping like 240 people. And it's just been a few years. I'm just simply telling you that whatever is preached across the pulpit, God will honor it. I'm almost done, but I read the words on one pulpit. It said, "Preach as though it were your last." You know, they got these little plaques on signs. I guess it's a message to the visiting preacher, you know. Nothing like putting you under pressure, you know. One little plaque said, "Preach as a dying man to dying men." No pressure, you know. But I understand what their intent was, because this pulpit is more than just varnish and wood and glue and nails. Because across this pulpit comes the voice of the Lord. He speaks through his word, and he moves with his spirit. And you have to understand, God is wanting to do whatever this man is willing to believe him for. When he speaks it across this pulpit, God is anticipating moving with his spirit. I've been in places where you couldn't find God with a flashlight and a search warrant. You know why? Because the people didn't believe. He said one place, "I couldn't do many mighty works because of their unbelief." That's But if I could persuade you today to believe what's preached across this pulpit, when the man of God said, let's stand and worship the Lord. We're going to have a move of the Spirit tonight. Believe what he just said. My. I got to hurry here. Let's see. Okay. When a man of God steps behind a pulpit, you as a saint need to be on the edge of your seat, not in relaxed mode, not laid back. You know, my God, I don't know if I can get up out of this chair. It's got no arms on it, but I'll try. This is how most people are in their spirit, okay? This is how, I can't even cross my legs right. I have to cross them like a woman. Got knee surgery done on both knees. But this is the way they sit in church. And they're almost asleep in their spirit. That's not how you need to come to church.
All right, yeah.
Oh, hey, I've been taught way too long. When you come to church, you ought to be on the edge of your seat in your spirit. And when the pastor or the visiting preacher takes the pulpit, you ought to be saying, my God, preacher, hurry up and preach to me. Get by the preliminary remarks. My soul is thirsty. I'm hungry to hear the word. Preach to me, preacher. If you can catch the little bit of truth this morning, it'll change this whole church. Okay, I'm almost done. I promise. I'll give you a little hope. I'm almost done. You need to tell me what I need to do to be saved, preacher. Make it plain. Listen to me. Make it plain. Make it believable. And make it doable. And by making it plain, making it believable, and making it doable, I've got hope. I've got hope. Why don't you stand? Why don't you stand? And I'll finish with this. Jesus told the parable of the sower. And I've heard it preached so many different ways about the sower and about the bag of seed and the ground and the thorns and all of that stuff. And it may all be true. But if you go to the end of the parable, Jesus was pretty plain about why he spoke that parable. He said, take heed, therefore, how you hear. When the Lord speaks across the pulpit, I want to hear, but I also want to obey what I hear. And so I would be negligent if I did not say this. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can have it. God will evermore fill you with his Spirit. And maybe you're here this morning and you need to pray through. I have heard that all my life in church. You need to pray through. You need to pray through. But I never heard an explanation for it. But I finally figured it out. Brother Cowan, to pray through simply means I need to pray myself empty of self. And stay long enough in prayer to pray myself full of Jesus. And maybe that's what you need to do today. I'm not sure. I don't know you today. But I do know the God that visits this pulpit. And he's here to answer every need and to give you hope.